Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. I have Eric with me.
Hello.
And welcome, Joe, back.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, we're doing well. I'm just bubbling over with loss. Last week's episode was, to me, it wasn't as fulfilling as Ab Eterno, which to me was just like the pinnacle, but it was major. It was very enjoyable, which was happily ever after. I read on your blog, Joe, that this was one of your favorites, happily ever.
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, Desmond episodes have tended to be epic and very integral to the overarching mythology. As Flashes Before Your Eyes and The Constant were in seasons 3 and 4. And I feel like this one sort of had that massive, epic, informative feel as well. I thought that they did a really brilliant job of tying him in with, you know, Charlie and Faraday. And really, I found it really revealing. And I think that we're really heading toward a convergence of the Flash Diaries and the Island.
Okay. Eric had to explain to me in great detail on a podcast that we haven't released yet about how the Flash Sideways would, I guess, tie into what we're seeing and how it mattered and stuff like that. Eric, with this Happily Ever After episode, how did this confirm, like, how the Flash Sideways work or the timeline or anything? Just
basically, pretty much everything that was presented in the episode fell in line with what my theory was, like how I was picturing everything in my head. Pretty much everything was as I expected. The only thing that I needed to know that I didn't already know was exactly how Desmond may transfer over. So that was like the only new bit of information that was unknown to me. But other than that, pretty much everything they revealed, it just fit in line with my worldview of how I've understood the Flash Sideways world since the premiere of this season.
So either one of you can answer this. So are you telling me that when Desmond was put into the machine that he himself visited Flash Sideways or he saw a vision of it? I'm not clear on that.
Eric?
Well, okay. Now, on that particular point, I am not 100% steadfast, but I don't know if Desmond himself literally traveled, but because it seems to me, my mind's not made up yet on that. But what it seems to me is that there's a way to where the worlds almost come close together, where a person's consciousness can kind of cross over or exist in both places. Because I think that's what's shown with a lot of the Charlie bits in the Sideways verse. And it was interesting because we were just talking about this in my class like the week before this aired. We were talking about the types of ways a person can like take a spiritual journey. I was like, the subject of the lesson was like how someone can take a spiritual journey from deprivation or being close to death. And so I just felt like, what, were they just like in my class last week? Cause, I mean, it's exactly what we were just talking about. So it all just made it seem even more obvious to me. As you see in the Sideways verse, when the characters get near death, they get in touch, I guess, with another dimension, however you want to describe their other selves. And Desmond on the island and the voltage and everything else, somehow they're trying to duplicate that, or maybe not exactly the same way, but that's the way I feel. Somehow he's going to be able, I'm guessing that Desmond will be able to kind of be in tune with himself, or know what his other self knows in order to take things further.
Okay.
Right. Well, it's interesting. You know, as we learned, Faraday told him, the rules do not apply to you. You're uniquely and miraculously special. And I think we're starting to finally get a glimpse of how and why that is so. Not only is he immune to the electromagnetic, you know, pulses, both when he imploded the hatch the first time and then when he Widmore put him in his magic box of coils. I feel like he's aware, Widmore is aware, and other people are aware that his consciousness has traveled through time. And I think that that's sort of a key to what's happening with the Flash sideways, and Desmond will be the one to bring it all together.
Oh man, that is so beautiful. In the package, we learned that Widmore is not necessarily evil. He's on the side of Jacob.
Or is he?
Oh God, no!
I love how they're setting up, because it's ultimately rather confusing. You've had this whole thing has been Ben versus Widmore for the first four seasons, and now it's Man in Black versus Jacob. And even though Widmore shows up with the sonic fence set up to deter the Man in Black, to me, it's not 100% sure that he actually is with Team Jacob. I mean, I think the whole it's black and white theme, the devil and God theme, it's to me, there's still some gray area, and we're not, I'm not sure yet where I stand on who's bad and who's good.
Oh man, I just made up my mind on that too.
No, see,
now I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure either, but where I stand right now on the Widmore thing, it seems to me that up to this point, Ben and Widmore were both acting with the island in mind. It seems to me they were both acting in trying to be on the side of the island. It's just they didn't necessarily agree on what was in the island's best interest. But it seems to me that they're acting in a way that is opposing what Man in Black is trying to do. Now, if that makes them with Jacob or not, I'm not really certain. And that's why they could still have conflict before, because I guess they disagreed on, you know, what was the best course of action. So that's where I stand on that situation right now.
That's actually a good explanation. I like that. Well, I hope we're all right.
Well, Charles said that, you know, if we don't keep Man in Black contained on the island, or if Desmond doesn't do that, then they all die, which seems to be on the side of Jacob, which is why I made up my mind on that. So I don't know.
I don't know either.
The package, I have to ask you, were you upset at the V countdown clock?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, here's the thing. ABC's marketing team, they unfortunately do not work in conjunction with the creative team on shows like V and Lost, and they don't get to make a decision about it. The marketing team doesn't. The network doesn't. I understand, playing devil's advocate for a second, why they had to use that. The show is coming back for a second series of, you know, the second half of the first season. They're trying to lure in Lost fans who are about to, you know, their favorite show's about to end, and next season they need something to hang their hat on. So from that standpoint, I understand. Could it have been translucent, or could it have appeared only occasionally? Absolutely.
Okay. Eric, did that bother you at all?
It was one of the few times when I wasn't watching Lost alone, when I was actually watching with other people, and that was right away that it jumped out on me. I was like, what in the world? Because especially on a big television, that thing was like 5 inches across. And I was like, and I thought, oh, it's going to go away. It's going to go away after a minute. No, it didn't. Yeah. It was there. And I was like, my goodness. It was distracting.
It's unfortunate that it played during an episode that had featured subtitles heavily, because it did cut off some of the words. Depending on what ratio you were watching it in, it did cut off a few words. So that was a little frustrating.
Oh, and another weird thing for me was that a lot of times I check, because I don't watch it a lot of times live, and I'm like, how much time is left? How much time is left? And then that thing was like a constant reminder. Oh, 5 minutes and 58 seconds. Okay. I guess this is going to get wrapped up pretty soon.
That's true.
Oh, God. We find out, okay, Eloise Hawken is not Penny's mom. Penny's last name is Milton. We don't know who's Penny.
Right.
Who Penny Moms is, or that's a poor sentence, but yeah, we need to know Penny Mama. Now let me stop. I, for some reason, am stuck on that, and it seems like it's a missing piece. You're not so sure about that, Joe, if it matters?
Well, I just think with 5 episodes left and a 2-hour season finale, I'm not sure it does. I think that there's two things to this. First, we found out, I believe in season 5, during one of the time travels, that, yes, you know, when Charles Widmore was exiled off the island, it was because he had a child with a woman who wasn't one of the others. He wasn't one of the military on the island. So that's Penny's mother. It was a civilian. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I don't know if it's relevant. I think that they threw us a bone by saying her last name is Milton, because John Milton wrote Paradise Lost. And there are lots of themes with Adam and Eve, God and the devil, mm-hmm, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not sure if that's at this point introducing her last name and not knowing her mother is relevant, unless it's going to be shocking and somebody we already know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So who knows?
Eric?
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, well, my only thoughts on the Widmore thing I kind of told you in our unreleased, quote unquote, no pun intended, lost episode, but I commented on that already because
that's why
the Penny thing was no surprise to me in this episode. And but going back to that situation that happened in series 5, that made it look like Widmore, you know, because that was the explanation of why he got kicked off the island, and it made him seem like he was against something, or you know, a bad person, or against the agenda of the island. But
right.
But as I speculated before, I thought it was a possibility that perhaps Jacob or someone influencing like that actually told him, you know, I need you to do this for me. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a very difficult trial for you to go through, Widmore, but you really have to do this. And I have a feeling that was just my feeling, was that he didn't really want to do it. This is obviously complete speculation on my part, but I had a feeling that he did not really want to do it, but he had to, because it was made clear to him that there was like significant importance. And
so you're saying that he had sex with some hot young thing so he could take one for the team?
He sacked because it's pretty clear. I think he never wanted to leave the island, or at least we've always thought he's been trying to get back now. But I don't think he ever wanted to leave, and I don't think he would have broken the rule of having a domestic situation off island, since that was the big rule that he broke that got him kicked off. I don't think that's necessarily what he wanted to do. You know, I know that does sound, when you put it that way, that Jake Mask like a gigolo. Like, yeah, okay, that makes it seem a little bit strange.
Well, you know what? It kind of works if you think about it this way. You know, if Jacob, let's say it is Jacob, asked him to do that, he would have him do it off island because women can't have babies on the island, A. And B, if the master plan was to use Desmond all along, they needed an impetus. They needed a love. They needed some, you know, they needed Penny for this whole plan to work. So, I mean, if you want to go way outside the box, I'm on board with your theory.
Yeah, and then again, another thing that seems interesting, because I keep, this is what I do, I take it apart backwards, because because right now we're saying, you know, Desmond needs to be the guy to bring it all back together, but why did he get messed up in the first place? So, you know, and tying into this thing about Widmore, having to take one for the team, meaning, so Desmond's, he's the fixer to the big problem, you know, that's why Widmore again, expanding on my speculation, if Jacob used Widmore as his tool to try to solve the future issue,
mm-hmm.
It's interesting what caused the issue in the first place, because it all comes back to Faraday and his mother, who of course is Widmore's other child. But that's where it really starts. So I'm trying to trace it back, because if you notice in the side verse, Faraday's mother is a bit testy. And I think, to me, it's clear why.
She knows, because that's what
exactly,
I thought.
She knows, yeah. Exactly. And she knows what happened. Well, of course she knows. We already know she knows, because we already saw it.
I don't even see how she knows. I don't know how she knows in the sideways verse.
Well, no. Wait, it's completely clear to me. We've already
Go ahead.
How in the fifth series. Because, as I told you before, Kat, both worlds were united as one before the incident, before the bomb. Okay. And if you go back before the bomb, in series 5, you remember Curiade's mother shot him before she realized what was going on when they went to go visit the camp, the others' camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so she remembers that. She has that memory. And it was weird, too, because in series 5, when Faraday died, he said to his mother, like, you knew all along, like, and you'd still let this happen, which was confusing because somehow, I mean, I don't know if Faraday's really right when he says that. Because she definitely knows in the sideways verse, because that all transpired coming from that event. So she knows that she killed her son. But yet somehow in Faraday's original life, I don't know if she really did know or not. Faraday thought she did, and that's what he said. In Faraday's previous Series 5 episode, when his mother was forcing him to like be a physicist instead of being a musician.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's the complete opposite, because she believes him being a musician keeps him alive and him being a physicist kills him. But it's confusing, because in the first timeline, the original timeline, she forces him to be a physicist, which in fact leads to the bomb, which in fact leads to the sideways verse, which then leads to her feeling like he needs to stay a musician, therefore not dying. So I'm a little bit confused by his mother and her motivations, but at least the way things have transpired, it's completely clear to me. And that's why somehow she knows in the sideways verse she's keeping her son alive, and that's why she doesn't want anyone else to harm that, especially Desmond, since apparently he has the power to put it back. I don't know, is that all clear?
Kind of. Eloise seems to also be immune to rules, and she seems to be one of the people aware of both the sideways and the regular reality on the island. To me, she's always served as, I'm a huge Matrix fan, so she's been an oracle ever since Flash is Before Your Eyes, when she's sitting talking to Desmond on the bench in 1996 during his flashback, and she's saying, the most important thing you'll ever do, Desmond, David Hume, is push the button, or else all of us are going to die. It's like, to me, looking back at that episode now, I'm like, wow, she was right. And I feel like her role on Lost is only to be an oracle. And she also is special in a way that no one else is.
Yeah, because he would always appear to her and get that advice from her when he was jumping through time. So she was kind of always there.
Yep.
So, wow. Brain hurt. Sorry. Oh, my God. God,
I don't know. It just all makes sense to me.
Isn't it weird to start having things on Lost make sense, or at least we're starting to sort of connect the dots? And it's both fantastic and disconcerting, because I'm starting to feel a little bit of dread. Like, I'm
five
so excited.
Episodes or six episodes less. Yeah,
I'm very excited for the ending. I'm very excited that they have an end point. They're ending on a high note. On the other hand, not that I'm like depressed that it's ending, but it's been a serious commitment for so many of us, and so. To have that kind of weekly thought process, and we're going to be missing a huge gap in our lives in terms of, it's not just any show. There's so much emotional resonance and commitment to it that it's going to be a big gap for people.
And nothing else on TV is like this.
No, not right now.
At all. There's no real big puzzle show at all, because this is a really huge puzzle show.
Gigantic puzzle.
And I didn't think it was going to be, I thought it was going to be when it first came out, just a throw-off show. I didn't know it was going to last. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I just did not see this coming.
Me either. If you would have asked me five, 6 years ago, if I would be writing about a show that's sort of taken over my life, I would have laughed at you.
Okay. the package just seemed to be like really, I don't know, slow show for me, and it really didn't have much going on in it except for the Sun and Jin thing, and we still didn't resolve that. They're still not together, which is very irritating, because I really want to get that, you know.
I'm very frustrated with that as well, and I really thought it's very, pardon my French, ballsy of them to give us the Jin and Sun long-awaited, you know, reunion episode and not have them get together on the island. To me, that is a sign that it's not necessarily going to be happily ever after for those two.
Yeah, because there was a line in that episode that said, you know, some people aren't meant to be together. And why? Why not? What are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? We have enough already.
And then to have her shot at the end, like, she's the first person we've seen in The Flash sideways who gets potentially mortally injured. She was shot and she's pregnant. So, I mean, those are huge ramifications.
That is true. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So it's interesting because that I can remember in other people's Flash sideways so far, no one's been put in that kind of danger. And not everyone's life has been better in the Flash sideways. At first, I thought this was like a second chance kind of scenario, but I'm not so sure anymore.
Saeed had to kill somebody. Charlie's crazy, but he's alive.
Right.
Yeah. So I kind of enjoy that. I really want to see the concert between the two and how they were going to do that. But, you know, I guess that's not meant to happen.
Maybe they'll play at Locke's wedding together.
Locke? Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
I forgot about him. I forgot about, what is he doing? He's on the, no, him and the lady's going to get married.
Him and Helen. Well, you know, logistically speaking, in his Flash Sideways, they talked about their wedding next month, which, you know, as the weeks go by, I'm sort of thinking that we're going to see a lot of the players wind up at Locke and Helen's wedding. We know now that Locke's working for Hurley, who's hired Rose, who has connections to all these other people. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, maybe, you know, Driveshaft isn't doing that well. Maybe they're available. If they're going to play a charity ball for Eloise Hawking, they can play a wedding for John Locke. And also, don't forget that Boone and his mother ran a wedding and catering company.
Oh, I did forget that.
So there are little things, like, to me, that are leading up to a little, perhaps, like, there's got to be a scenario where a lot of the cast meets in the Flash sideways and something happens that clicks for them.
Oh,
and I feel
God.
Like I know, doesn't that give you goosebumps to think about? Like, let's say they're all in the same basic vicinity. Something clicks, something happens on the island, and either they all remember in the flash sideways or they cease to exist, like they said.
Because in the flash sideways, Desmond wanted to get the names of everybody that was on the
manifest.
Planet. Yeah.
I'm about 100%.
That was weird for me. What do you say, Eric?
Well, I'm about 100% certain that the Flash sideways will cease to exist completely by the end of the series. Been convinced.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then thinking about that too, what you're saying, what's going to happen? Because I think there is going to be a crescendo built in the sideways verse. And yeah, I was just thinking about that. I mean, just now, because what I'm wondering in the sideways verse is, first of all, okay, we know the island is flooded at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't exactly know why, but as a result of that, or whatever the further repercussions of the bomb going off have been on the island, which we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder, did Jacob survive that? And if so or not, I want to know, did Man in Black, is he loose now in the sideways verse? Is he out?
What I think. I think that the island being submerged in the flash sideways to me indicates that, like the bottle of wine, the cork became uncorked. That means evil got out in the world. That he's, I wouldn't be surprised to find out the island in this flash sideways, we're going to see the Man in Black in his original form, in his original, like, physical and manifestation. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And I said, and I think we may get to see, and that would be exciting if that's where it's going to go, to show us what Horrors could have been or could be if the whole system isn't maintained on the island, the whole cork system, the whole candidate, the whole somebody like Jacob. Yeah, and I'm interested to see how far they're going to take down the sideways verse to really play it out so that everyone realizes this is absolutely wrong. This is not the way the world's supposed
to
be.
This can go on for another season. I don't know how they're going to pull this off. I don't know how they're going to pull this off.
I think they're leaning toward, you know, having everyone have what I call on my site the mirror moments where everyone looks in their reflection, either purposely or just walking up, like Desmond walking up to the courthouse door, sees his reflection. He sees his reflection in the oceanic sign at the airport. Mm. Son was looking in the mirror before Kimi showed up. Jack was looking in the mirror at a picture of his son. They have, and, you know, so on and so forth. And I've been writing about this. Like, they have these subtle moments of deja vu. It's not as blatant as Kate seeing Jack at the airport and those two having their moments. And, you know, like, I think that these little hints of deja vu are going to have to do with how this flash sideways is converges with the island reality. And I think actually that they will resolve the flash sideways before the finale.
Oh, so they resolve the flash sideways before the finale, and then something happens on the finale. Oh man.
Well, the finale will deal with how it all, I think, ties together and whether or not they are on the island or they are in the real world and who they are, which version of Jack we're going to see, which version of Kate, so on and so forth. I also think that before the finale, we'll know who the candidate is, who Jacob's replacement is.
I got spoiled already. Accidentally. What? Yeah, I did. Oh. And it pissed me off.
Oh, don't tell me.
Oh, I'm not. Oh, I know, because you'll hunt me down and kill me.
But beware of fake spoilers. They're putting out a lot of misinformation out there for this very reason. Just like when they filmed.
They did. I really hope so, but
remember the season 3 or season 4 finale when they revealed who was in the coffin? They filmed Desmond and Sawyer in the coffin, and they, as well as Locke, like they go out of their way, and that was especially for the finale. Those people know about, you know, the spoiler hounds are out there. They're in Hawaii right now where they're filming it. They are purposely like misleading people. So I hope that you're wrong.
Okay, I hope I'm wrong too. Now you made me really feel a lot better about reading that because it was on Wikipedia, and you can't really trust that. But it was the way they had everything laid out that when I saw it, I was like, "What? Oh no, I cannot see that! Oh my god!"
But there's no way. I mean, they're you know, very tight with security, even in a place like Hawaii where it's much more mellow than, let's say, filming in LA. Mm-hmm. The pages are color coded, and everyone's name is embedded in them, and like they're really. My understanding is that it's as secure as a show can be for a series finale.
Oh, wow. That is so good to know.
So I hope that, no, you weren't. I hope that, that some idiot just put something. Because, you know, it's user generated. That's the problem with Lostpedia and Wikipedia. It's user generated. So.
Yeah, I really hope that that's what's going on. Okay, so Desmond, at the end of the latest Happily Ever After, was fighting, you know, because, of course, he saw a guy get into the coils, magic coils things, and then get fried. He got into it. He did his thing, which is very good. He came out of it, and he was playing ball.
Totally happy. Yeah, like he knew his destiny now.
Mm-hmm. And he, even when he was getting carted off, Saeed came and was like, "You coming with us?" He was just like, "Yeah, whatever."
I know. It's very strange. I don't know. We don't know also what was said when, you know, Widmore, after he came out of the coils and his consciousness returned and he looked happy, and Widmore was surprised at Desmond and said, "Oh, it's fine. I'm ready." Like, we don't know what else was said. Widmore might have been giving him some instructions, because clearly Desmond is on his way to, in my opinion, to meet up with the Man in Black, and he might be the only one who the man, like Smokey, is probably has zero effect on Desmond, if I had to guess.
But oh, you mean he couldn't turn into smoke and do anything to him?
Or he could try, but Desmond is the only one in the world that cannot. You know, I think that Smokey is definitely tied to the electromagnetic pulses on this island. And I feel like Desmond being miraculously special is not only just that he's immune to the electromagnetic stuff. It's just that he might be the one who will overtake the Man in Black, and the island will not sink. Or, you know, I'm not sure how that's going to work with the Flash sideways, but I certainly can't wait to see that showdown.
Okay. Eric, any last thoughts?
No, the only thing I was just thinking about, because Joe just said, you know, the Flash sideways will probably get resolved before the finale.
It has to.
Well, in my mind, it already is. In my mind.
Well, not to already, us. Well, not to laymen like me.
Well, yeah, but like I told you, I felt like the Flash sideways, it's funny, it was resolved for me as soon as it was created, because that's the way it was presented to me in the show, in the premiere of season 6, because that's when we got introduced to the sideways. But at the same time, again, going back to all that murky stuff with Juliet in the premiere, it just all seemed clear to me that none of the events that we have seen take place on the island in season 6 would even be happening had the sideways verse not already been solved in some way. So for me, it's like the sideways version is just playing catch up, because the proof is already there, that it's already been resolved. What we really need to know at this point that's unknown is,
so you're saying that when Juliet said the thing it about worked. The coffee house and it worked and all of that, okay, I get you, we're catching up just by seeing the sideways.
So Desmond has already, or whoever it is, has already set things straight with the sideways verse, which we will all see play out, you know, but it's already been resolved. But what obviously has been resolved is how events are going to continue to play out on island. That's the most current time, as far as the way I see everything. And
like, the war, again, you mean?
And again, everything I've seen only backs up the way I see the way this all fits. So there's been nothing to dissuade me from this theory. It's because everything they keep showing me every week just only adds, like, fills in the gaps of what I'm thinking already. So,
well, I'm glad you're clear, because I'm with Kat. I'm like, I mean, I love it, and I don't mind not knowing, but I'm like, I'm so curious to see how the hell they're going to wrap this up.
Oh, yeah, I obviously that's a complete unknown still. Yeah. It's just, yeah. But for me, it's a matter of filling in the colors and the blanks, but the blueprint's already there for me.
Cool.
Man. Okay, so we have, what is it? Eric, are you still unclear as to how the finale works and how many episodes? Is it five episodes and then the finale?
Two-hour finale.
So it's five and then two-hour finale, which is a total of six more days of having to watch. Okay.
Right. I think two-hour finale is considered one episode.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
And then so it'll be 7 to 9 p.m. will be the pre-show. ABC just added another hour. And then 9 to 11 will be the finale. And 11 to midnight is the Jimmy Kimmel special with the cast and crew.
My goodness, 5 hours. What are you going to be doing, Jeff?
Everyone keeps asking me that and what I'm going to do the next day besides get tissues.
Sleep. I know. Sleep is going to be.
Sleep, tissue, and whiskey. That seems to be the trio. Not necessarily in that order. I'm actually going to be watching it alone.
Perfect.
I've been invited to parties in LA and up here in the Bay Area, and I tend to watch alone anyway, take notes, pause, you know, and then write about it immediately. And I don't really want to change my pattern at the end. And I just found out my partner actually is going to be out of town. So I literally will be alone 5 hours.
Wow. Eric, how are you going to celebrate the end?
I have no idea. I have not even thought about that, you know.
Good.
I'm in the middle of a whirlwind as it is, and so it's kind of like that'll probably just hit me, you know, when the time comes, and I won't be expecting it.
Yeah, you'll have Doctor Who on the mind straight like 5 minutes until, and then you'll start watching it and forget about it.
I just feel so overwhelmed right now because, I mean, yeah, that's Lost, that's Doctor Who, but, you know, there's other crazy things happening in Fringe right now, Stargate Universe. It's just, wow, all the shows are just converging right now, and it's
they are
really feels like the middle.
But oh my God. And every time they mention that it's just five more episodes, I get a little panicky because it's like we have some answers, you know, but
yep.
we still don't have a lot of them. And it just seems like they can easily take another year, another two more years to wrap this thing up. And so there's a little bit of fear watching. Right. You know.
Not me. I love it. I actually don't. I don't like shows that end cleanly. I love the series finale of The Sopranos, and a lot of people didn't. I don't mind speculation, and I don't. I'm not the kind of Lost fan who,
know,
I've kept as a joke on my iPhone. I have a list of what's called lingering Lost questions, and like I look at them now, and I'm ready to delete them because they're ridiculous and they don't matter in the bigger picture. And I think that people will continue for years to speculate, and that'll be the fun. And I like that Damon and Carlton said we're not going to come back out and explain things to you. It's all interpretive, and also if you go back from episode one and rewatch the whole thing, things will make sense now. You know?
Okay. Well,
where are you going to watch it?
I need to watch the whole thing over then.
Where are you going to watch the finale?
Where am I going to watch it? At home. I think I'm going to get beer. I'm going to get some pizza, maybe some alcohol to put in the beer. Some liquor to put in the beer. No, I'm kidding. I've never done that. That's weird. but yeah, I'm just going to have because I don't want to be disturbed either.
Yeah,
that's a way a lot. I mean, because if you're watching what other people are yapping about, you're going to miss something. Ugh. I don't want to do that.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, well, Joe, I really, really glad you came on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it is always so insightful. But, you know, I feel like I'm at a place where I'm not as confused. Like when I first talked to you, first encounter for us, I was just totally lost. You know, I was just all over the place. But, you know, I'm keeping on top of it. So I'm confident that I do know what's going on. And, you know, I have you and Eric to thank for that and the internet and reading and stuff. So where can we find you on the internet?
My main Lost work is on my Lost site, which is Get Lost with Joe Pinionated, which is you could just Google it to find it or to Google the word Joe Pinionated. I'm also now writing for AOL TV. Mm-hmm. So if you go to tv.aol.com, I'm covering Lost, but I'm also covering a lot of shows. And I don't know when this podcast will be published, but on Tuesday, I'm flying to Los Angeles to film a Lost segment called Instant Dharma.
Sweet.
So I'm going to watch Lost in LA with the AOL team. And then we immediately sit down and we film our analysis of it. And it airs on Wednesday.
Awesome. Look at that. We have a superstar on our podcast. Oh, my God. No. Okay. And Eric, you can find him at where?
I'm Blue33 on Twitter, you know. Just go to our show notes also, and you'll see a million links to everything.
Uh-huh, and got to the whoverse.lipson.com. And guys, give us a call at 773-336-2686. That's 773-336-2686. You can reach us at scifipartyline.com and leave comments. You can tweet us at scifipartyline. And we will see you at the party next week, next time. Bye.